It's time for You Oughta Know, a weekly conversation about all things automotive with your host, Toby Edmonds.
Well, good morning, Toby.
Good morning, Mike.
You made it out and into the cold and dark, and here you are in the studio. How did it feel driving in what is the first real snow of the year?
Oh, it's not that bad. Getting up was horrible, though.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's true.
It's that cold and that dark. It just makes it 10 times worse getting out of bed.
Right. And so walking, I didn't drive this morning. I walked across to the studio, and I noted that it was cold enough. Temperature in downtown Palmer's roughly 25 degrees. So that what had slightly melted yesterday has frozen. So I suspect there are going to be spaces and places that are going to be a little bit slick as we go along. But obviously, the snow is thin, if I can describe it that way. And more importantly, coming up over the next 10 days, our temperatures in the 40s.
Oh, really? I was wondering about that. I haven't had a chance to look yet.
Yeah. So this was a test. And there were a number of people that responded to the test. I think the test was to see whether a little bit of snow would provoke people into going and getting their tires changed. And the people I've spoken to have said, oh, there were long lines.
Oh, I'm sure there was.
For the tire changeover locations that many people use, there might be a six-hour wait. But that's good. Now the rains will come, and the rest of the people who need to change over will do that, make that happen. So your own car, since we're on to this, did you put winter tires on?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, that's okay. I mean, it's as if I,
no.
Oh, no. But I'm not shaking my finger metaphorically.
Well,
I'm just saying, tell me more.
I don't normally run with snow tires. No, depending upon the vehicle that I'm driving. I know you know I have a rotating slew of vehicles that
right.
I drive, but you know the majority of them are all-wheel drive. So I tend not to. Plus, I'm lucky enough to where I don't have. You know, if I had to commute, it would be different.
Right.
But generally, my travels are pretty much limited between my house and the shop and everything in between, and that's a whole whopping 7 miles. So. No, I don't run snow tires and stuff.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because I have known people, and I've known people who have had vehicles essentially similar to the ones we have,
mm-hmm.
And they could be not an all-wheel drive vehicle, but a front-wheel drive vehicle, and they have gone, many years driving regularly from a far distant place like Sutton, which has some interesting different kinds of road conditions.
It does.
Into Palmer or Anchorage, and have used the same, essentially, all-weather tires without any difficulty for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I know other places, maybe slight different location of your house, like up a hill, where it makes just the difference, because what I've discovered is particularly new snow tires, good new snow tires, make a difference in where I can go.
Absolutely. Actually, a good tire, period, makes a big difference in where you can go and how comfortably and how safely you're going to get there. You know, when you talk about snow tires specifically, you know, as you're sitting there waiting for your snow tires to be put on for, you know, 6 hours, you know, you generally when you're in tire places, they have, you know, different examples of different tires set up, you know.
Right.
Next time you're in that position, you know, take a look and really look at the way a snow tire is built. You know, obviously you have the studded and studless variety. And then you have, you know, there's the different types of cuts in the tire. So there's the different tread patterns as well as smaller cuts. So that's called siping.
Right.
And because a snow tire is typically made out of a much softer rubber compound, what happens is as the tire is rotating and turning, those little tiny cuts are spread apart and kind of almost act like little suction cups as you're driving.
Okay.
So you know when you really feel a snow tire, you can feel the difference in the rubber. and that it is softer. It's more malleable when you're really, you know, pressing on it and touching it.
Okay.
And it's that way for a purpose, and it's to make the tire stickier as you're driving on ice.
Right.
But that's also why you shouldn't drive around with winter tires on as it gets warmer, because it really causes that tire to wear really, really fast.
So that leads us into the whole dimension of two things that a potential buyer has to look at. The kind of the tire itself, with all of these, and there are so many different varieties with different treads and compounds, as you're pointing out, and the conditions they're going to be using the tire in. You know, there are some places where the snow comes down and stays forevermore until it goes away in the spring. Then there are other places that are sort of, there's a nice mix, you can call it that, of snow and ice and bare road and ice and snow and all kinds of combinations. And so you're never quite sure what you're driving on.
Mm-hmm.
And then my experience has been, you also have the chance of having tires be very loud driving down the road. In some cases, they may have great grip, but they are also very loud. And so you play off all of those things to come up with whatever is the best one. And then, of course, there's the dollar sign.
Right. When it comes to tires, though, you really do get what you pay for. There is a limit, of course. There are some tires that, by looking at them, you'd think that they were made out of gold, and they're not. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, if you're driving beyond the limitations of the vehicle and you're not driving to conditions, I mean, is a good tire going to aid in your ability to stay on the road? Yes, it will, but it's not a silver bullet. You know, it's not going to, I mean, if you're really going to go in the ditch, you're going to go in the ditch. Some tires, I mean, there's different varieties. There's higher quality, there's lower quality. For the most part, when it comes to tires, I mean, you really do get what you pay for.
So one of the things that often is asked, and we may have talked about this last year, but it's good to bring it back. Do you buy rims for your snow tires so you just have an easy swap, or do you take the tires off the rims and back and forth?
Hands down, if you can afford it, absolutely get a second set of rims to run in the wintertime, especially if you have, I mean, most newer vehicles are coming with really nice high-end, chrome aluminum wheels. I mean, they're fancy, they're usually large. But that also means that they're extremely susceptible to damage. And, you know, we live in Alaska. You know, our roads are sometimes treacherous. You know, there's going to be gigantic chunks of ice in the middle of the road as you're driving. There's going to be potholes. You know, there's going to be multiple opportunities for those rims to get damaged. So, I mean, if you can and if they will work with your vehicle, absolutely get a second set of rims. See if you can get like a set of steel rims. They won't look quite as pretty. But you also don't run the risk of damaging your nice aluminum rims.
Okay. That makes some sense. All right. So tires, I jumped right in and threw that out as a question set. Did you have a particular thing you wanted to focus on today?
I figured we'd talk today about the difference between four-wheel drive and all-wheel drive.
Oh, yes. Other than the spelling, FWD, AWD. Okay. Go for it.
It did snow as you can see, and I was wondering about that actually, because I was the snow came down. I mean, this is a pretty convincing snow.
Yes.
I was actually the reason why I didn't check the weather is because I was pretty convinced this was going to stay. In fact, this really feels. I mean, I've was born and raised in Alaska. And I do remember the winters of back in the day where you had snowbanks taller than, people. And my sister and I used to build snow caves in our yard. And this was really feeling like it was going to be a real winter
right.
again.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that we were, we hear it all the time at the shop, it's questions of when do I put my snow tires on? Should I put snow tires on? And what I always tell people is it really kind of depends upon your comfort level as you're driving. And if you're comfortable driving a four-wheel drive vehicle or an all-wheel drive vehicle without putting snow tires on it, then don't put snow tires on it. You know, that as we just talked about, I mean, I run with all-season tires all year round. But then again, like I said, I also have an all-wheel drive vehicle, and that does make a difference. And there are lots of cars out there that are front-wheel drive, but they have traction control. So that usually leads to the question, well, what's the difference?
Okay.
Do you have, let's start with four-wheel drive. You have part-time four-wheel drive, and you have all the time four-wheel drive. All the time four-wheel drive really is pretty much exactly like what it sounds like. Torque is supplied to all four wheels constantly.
Right.
Usually you have a differential in there that can be locked or unlocked. And when you're locking that differential, what it's doing is that when you're in just regular full-time four-wheel drive, each wheel is turning, torque is being supplied to it, but they can turn at different rates, especially as you're cornering. Right. So if you've ever had your vehicle in four-wheel drive and maybe it was on dry pavement and you were turning a corner and ever felt that grabby feeling, that's because you're in four-wheel drive and those tires are trying to spin all at the same time, but you're cornering on dry pavement and those tires are slipping because it's too much. And then you have part-time four-wheel drive in which you have the option. This is most trucks. You can drive it in two-wheel drive, or you can hit a button or pull a lever and it goes to four-wheel drive, and then you have something called four-low.
Okay.
So that's the difference between part-time four-wheel drive and full-time four-wheel drive. Now, all-wheel drive is very similar to all-time four-wheel drive in that all the torque is being supplied to all four wheels at the same time. The difference is that most of those systems, and I say most because there are some exceptions, do not have a differential allowing you to lock it and keeping all four tires, all four wheels locked together between the front and the rear.
Okay.
So, you know, each system has its, you know, just like we were talking about with tires, each system has its use and its pros and its cons. Fuel economy being a huge one. My background is in Audis. They're all-wheel drive. And do I get the same type of fuel mileage that maybe a Jetta or a Toyota is going to get? No, I don't, because I use up more fuel because my engine is constantly trying to turn all four wheels at the same time. More energy is expended.
So when you were talking about the all-wheel drive, help me to understand the range at which the power is being provided to the four wheels. It seems to me I remember in some cases what are referred to as the lightweight all-wheel drive. You get a 80-20 split or something of that sort.
It does depend upon the system. like Audi's is a 60-40.
Okay.
Back in the day, they actually used to have different Audi's that where they did have a locking differential. And then it was truly, you know, 50-50. But most systems are generally more like 60-40.
Okay. Okay. So what does that mean? When you say 60-40, it means most of the energy is going to the front wheels.
Yes, that means that it's an all-wheel drive vehicle, but it most of the power is still being sent to the front. So you'll have 60% of the power being sent to the two front wheels and 40 being sent to the rear, which makes it kind of, it's what's called a front-wheel drive heavy all-wheel drive system.
Okay. Now, what about, you mentioned now, a range of different vehicles, from the big truck with four-wheel drive all the time to and on through the Audis you've described. Different handling characteristics in these vehicles.
Yes. Probably not to the point where most average drivers are going to notice it between the full-time four-wheel drive and an all-wheel drive vehicle.
Okay.
Obviously, with the part-time four-wheel drive, it's going to be dependent on whether or not you're driving it in two-wheel drive versus when you have it in four-wheel drive. Quite honestly, I think that out of all the four-wheel drive systems, I think that the part-time four-wheel drive is probably the best system for the majority of people because the majority of people aren't going to take their vehicles heavily off road. I mean, they'll put it in four wheel drive, and they might go, you know, down, you know, some trails, or, you know, we do live in Alaska, so people are going to, you know, drive on surfaces other than pavement. But for the most part, I think for out of the four wheel drive systems, the part time four wheel drive system is the best setup for most people, because it does allow you to run it in two wheel drive, which means that you are going to be able to save some fuel economy the majority of the time that you're driving the vehicle. When you have full-time four-wheel drive, it's basically, you know, like I said, it's very similar to an all-wheel drive system at that point in time, and you are going to sacrifice fuel economy. So it's as far as handling goes, though, I mean, I think where you're going to see the majority of the differences is obviously on snow and ice. And then, once again, it's kind of dependent upon the system and how it's set up. Like I can say, quite honestly, when, you know, I'm driving Audis, lots of times the traction control and the ABS and the all-wheel drive system, it integrates so smoothly that the car can start to slip and lose control and will have fixed itself, righted itself before I even caught on to the fact that it was starting to break loose. So, you know, I like I said, when it comes to driving on snow and ice, I kind of prefer the Audi all-wheel drive system. But once again, I think that's personal preference for most people.
And the intelligence in these systems to give more or less power to a certain wheel, that exists as well.
Too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that I used to work at Mercedes in Anchorage for a while. And this was right around the time that the MLs, their SUVs, came out. Mm-hmm. It was a couple years afterwards. So the 98, 99 MLs, they were already on their second, possibly even third owner. And, so, you know, we'd get these SUVs coming in, and I mean, they're not cheap by any means, but I mean, they'd been around for, you know, 3-4 years by that point in time, and, had some miles on them, and people were bringing them in for brakes. And, the brakes are on those cars back then were just ungodly expensive. I mean, they were horrific. And people would get upset because, you know, they were putting brakes on these cars like all the time, you know, just why don't these brakes last very long? Well, when you have an all-wheel drive system and it works together with traction control, the way most, not all of them, but the way most of these traction control systems work is as the vehicle starts to lose traction on one of the wheels, what it'll do is it will apply the brakes on that one wheel in order to slow it down. And what was happening is people were choosing not to run snow tires like I do, but but what they were doing is they were doing, you know, they were driving it normally, driving the vehicle normally. So, you know, you come to a stop and you go, so they slam on the accelerator like they would in normal summertime to take off to get out into traffic. And they were really wearing down on the brakes super, super fast because they were constantly engaging that traction control and engaging those brakes. So, yeah, it can absolutely, that type of a system can absolutely cause some significant wear and tear on your vehicle if you're not doing it properly.
Okay, so you mentioned traction control as a function for a vehicle that would be just, say, a front-wheel drive, but without all-wheel drive. How effective really is that?
Actually, super effective. Once again, kind of depending upon the system, because it's most of them are very similar in the fact that they will use the brakes, but then they'll also use some sort of ignition, retarding the ignition to a certain extent.
Okay.
Reduces the amount of torque from the engine. So it all works together to basically what it does is it reduces power being sent to that wheel.
Okay.
Which allows the other wheels to gain traction and pull you out of whatever situation that you're in. So the types of traction control systems, it's depending upon how it's set up, because they're all different. The concept is very similar, but the details, I guess, on how it is done is can be different between different vehicles. And I've driven also Volkswagens for years that were front wheel drive but had traction control, And there were some exceptions, but, you know, for the most part, I did the same thing with those. I didn't run winter tires on them. So it can be very effective.
Okay. So we've been talking about things that exist. I've been talking with Toby Edmonds here. We've been talking about winter driving, particularly the kinds of things to think about and notice about your vehicle, whether it's an all-wheel drive, has traction control, good tires, winter tires, all-season tires. Let's take a moment to look into the future, because it was just this past weekend that in downtown Palmer, I noticed probably the only Tesla in town, a Tesla sedan that was sitting there. And I know that Teslas, I believe that all of the Teslas now are all-wheel drive. They formerly had a sedan S and then that you could get all-wheel, but now they found that it's just better performing in all ways, et cetera. Which leads, since it's an all-electric vehicle, to the thought about what's coming, because other vehicles have been, whether it's Volvo saying they're going to be all hybrid or electric, et cetera, others, what will be different? They're going to be, and I know there was a discussion about, well, this is conceptually easy. You put a little electric motor at each wheel. But apparently that's not the way it's going. There may be two electric motors, one in the front and one in the back, but still requiring some differentials, et cetera. But the difference being, when we talked about control, et cetera, apparently if you have the right computer power on board, you can control these wheels pretty neatly. Any comments?
You know, I haven't spent a lot of time looking at the all-wheel drive systems for electric vehicles. But one of the things that's very nice about electric vehicles is that as opposed to a gas engine, when you hit the accelerator, when you depress the accelerator, you have instantaneous full torque and power being sent to those wheels.
Right.
It would make excellent drag cars.
Sure.
Because you have, you know, instantaneous horsepower and torque being sent to those wheels. So I could absolutely see how, as far as electric vehicles go, having them be all wheel drive would, even though initially it might be a little bit more of a complicated system, I can see how it would absolutely pay out in dividends as far as handling, performance, everything. I mean, that's a really good point.
So we're going to be. We're a little early in the game because, as best as I say, I know there's one Tesla.
There's actually several. We even have a couple of SUVs up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen those. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, more are coming, and more all-wheel drive vehicles that are electric are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because there've been a bunch of electric cars out, Nissan Leaf, et cetera. But there have been few all-wheel drive electric vehicles to this point. But I can see them coming. And
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're definitely coming.
Yeah, make that happen. Well, okay, we've covered a lot of ground with all of this. Any other comments we want to make about winter driving that goes beyond the tires and the kind of drive system you have?
Well, if you haven't gotten your tires changed over, absolutely do it here very soon. I firmly believe that this is going to be a pretty decent winter. I think we're going to get a lot of snow this year. And so, better safe than sorry. Get those if you're going to run with winter tires. Just do it now. Especially if you, like you say, if the weather's supposed to improve, I'll bet you're going to find that a lot of people are going to, choose to wait it out. But that would be an ideal time to get your winter tires on. So hopefully it wouldn't be a 6-hour wait. But as always, if you have any questions, you want to talk about the different type of system, even if you're maybe kind of unfamiliar with how your system does work on your car, if it's four-wheel drive, full-time four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, traction control, no traction control. If you have any questions on any of that, we're always happy to help. Edmonds Import Auto across the street from the fairgrounds down by the Noisy Goose.
Okay. Thank you, Toby, for coming in today. We'll see what happens. We might get a little rain down here, but it could well be snowing up there where you may want to go skiing. And so that's always this interesting thing, too.
Right.
Start out in the wet and into the snow.
Well, and if it's wet, and especially, we might be up in the 40s during the day, but at nighttime, it's probably going to drop down below freezing. So then you're dealing with that dreaded ice and black ice.
Right, through the day. Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to You Oughta Know with Toby Edmonds. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, Big Cabbage Radio, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.